Hello, everybody. Welcome. I hope that you're all doing well today. And for those of you that are in the Catalyzing Breakthroughs training, I mentioned I've invited some special guests for our practicum today, some people that are in Sacred Depths, and another program of mine to contribute to the call today to get more practice and to make it richer for everyone. So just a warm welcome to everybody that's here. I'm so glad that you all are here. And for those of you in Catalyzing Breakthroughs, I can't believe that it's our last call. How did it go by so quickly? I don't even know. The time is running over here. So I'm really excited for today's class. We're going to spend the next 90 minutes going deeper into our questioning skills, our breakthrough questioning skills. And we're going to do it by continuing to isolate the questioning muscle, right? So what we're going to be doing today is we practice questioning, and I'm going to be walking you guys through it step by step by step. But what we're going to be doing today is, guys, sorry, someone is just knocking at my door. I think my daughter's play date is getting picked up. Hold on one second. Sorry. So we're going to be isolating the questioning muscle, and we're doing that so that it's kind of like when you go to the gym, and you want a full body workout at the gym for sure, but in order to strengthen certain muscles, you're going to work on them specifically. So the way that we're going to do this today, this is not how your coaching sessions are going to look. You're obviously not going to only use questions when you coach. You're going to reflect, you're going to be strategizing, all the things. But for today, I want us to really, really focus on those questioning skills. We're going to, in this kind of sacred space, we're going to have opportunity to really take the time and the space for you to think about what questions you want to ask and then craft them. So I'm going to be giving you some extra time. Obviously in coaching sessions, you're going to be crafting the questions on the spot, but you're going to have some time today to like have that space to think about what are the exact words that I want to use? How do I want to phrase this? What is it that, what's the question that I really want to ask? The more that you practice in this way, then the more immediate it's going to happen in your sessions with clients. And of course, you're going to be participating mostly today, but I'll be weighing in and I'll be sharing. I'll be giving, lots of different pointers as you share your questions. For some of the questions that you share, I'm going to say that's spot on. I wouldn't ask it any other way. For other questions that some of you are going to ask, I'm going to say, that's great, but think about this wording or thinking about tweaking it in this way or that way. If I do that, I'm going to do it lovingly and all for everybody's learning. So don't feel shy to raise your hand. As we go through, I'll ask a volunteer to come forward, and I'll just ask that volunteer enough questions so that we get an idea of her situation or his situation. And during that time, as you're listening to craft questions, I want you to be using everything that we've learned so far, whether you're in Catalyzing Breakthroughs or you're in Sacred Depths, or for those of you that are in Coaching Mastery Circle, you've been through all of Sacred Depths already. So there, I just want to remind you of the things I want you to be thinking about. So number one, use all of your listening skills. Use those deep listening skills and really listen for the layers, all the things that we learned through our deep listening skills. Think about your filters. Make sure that you're checking your filters. That doesn't mean that you can't ask questions based on your filters, right? But as we looked at in our listening module, you want them to be checked. Think about the things that you want to create awareness on for the client. Think about all of the questioning foundations that we looked at, uncovering patterns, giving the client a choice, connecting the dots, the language that you're using, you know, all the different things. Bring it all together to craft questions. Okay, so that being said, let's jump right into it. So you guys know the drill. This is going to work like our listening practicum. And for those of you in Sacred Depths, our creating awareness practicum, I'm going to call on a volunteer. And whoever gets called on, you have an opportunity not to be coached exactly, right, but to get some insight on an issue that you're having right now that you'd like some insight on. So who'd like to come forward as our first client? Star two. Need someone to come forward for us to be able to do this. So who's going to come forward? Who's got something that they'd like some insight on? Okay, great. Who is this? 5568 are your last numbers.
This is Leah.
Hi, Leah. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. This is Leah V, right? Not Leah R.
Yes.
There's two Leahs.
Yes.
Just want to make sure. I thought so.
Okay. Yes.
Awesome. So I'm going to, I'm going to try not to coach you or ask too many breakthrough questions, but just enough so that we can all get a really good sense of what's up for you right now and what you want support on. So let's just start there. What is it that you'd like support on?
Okay. Okay, I'm just feeling into it. I just jumped in. I just returned from a trip and feeling a little maybe overwhelmed I'm feeling, you know, all the things that I'm wanting to do, like my retreat and creating programs. I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed, and I know, like, I'm just getting back from a trip, but I figured I'd jump in and just see what comes up.
Yeah. So what's the situation that you could use support on?
Feeling like, you know, I'm feeling not very confident in moving forward with these things that I want to create.
Yep. Tell us more about that, about the things that you want to create and about the not feeling confident.
Yeah. Well, right before I left for my trip, I threw out there, like, to put together a retreat for five people. And I have, and all I need is five people for, and then I thought, well, if it's going to happen when I come back, then five people will be there. And I have one that said yes, mm-hmm. and one that's interested. And so I'm feeling like, you know, do I not try hard enough? Am I just nobody's interested? And feeling like a little stuck and overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So
it sounds like, and I just want to make sure I'm getting all the details, so it sounds like before you left on your trip, you decided that you wanted to do this retreat for five people, and you put it out there. And how did you put it out there? Tell us a little bit about that.
I actually put together an email for I don't put it out there publicly. I just invite people, like, that have been in my circles.
Mm-hmm.
So there are four specific people that I know have done a lot of work already.
Mm-hmm.
So I did put an email out to them.
One email.
Which for me is big because I don't like to do emails. So I felt like I really tried.
Yep. And you sent one email?
Yes, I sent one email.
to the whole
yes,
group of the people. So one email to the whole group of the people that you've already done work with. Did you send it as a group or individually?
Yes. Well, I did. I did blind copy, like, you know, because I didn't want people to reply at all. Yeah.
Okay. And you just started saying that that was a big deal for you, that you normally don't even send emails. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Okay. So the last two retreats I did, I pretty much just told people what I was doing and they signed up. And so, and I know I have a thing where it's got to be easy.
Like you called them up or?
Yeah, I called them or I texted them or I asked them in person.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay. And so why was it a big deal for you to send the email? What's that about?
Because I have a lot of resistance with writing.
Uh-huh.
And so I was kind of, it was, you know, it took effort for me to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a big deal that you did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us about the resistance that you have with writing.
The resistance I have about writing, like I know how valuable it is, and yet, you know, like even on my trip, like I didn't really journal.
Mm-hmm.
And it has something to do with like just my opinion of myself, probably, of not thinking I can express myself well. So then I just don't do it.
Okay.
When I'm in person, it feels easier, like, to do things in person.
Yep.
For me.
Yep. Yeah. Well, so that makes sense that you have a resistance to writing, and that it was a big deal that you sent that email. Trying not to ask probing questions just to give us information. Okay, you mentioned a little earlier that you weren't sure if you're not trying hard enough. You said two things. Is it that you're not trying hard enough? And you said, or something else, and I actually didn't catch that. But tell us about some of those, like, things that you're wondering in your head.
Okay. Am I trying enough? Are people really interested in this? Kind of who am I to just think that I can have, you know, this be easy?
Why are you laughing when you say that? I heard a little chuckle there.
Because it's kind of like what happens with me is like, it appears, you know, when I do things, it does seem to be easy to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been taking me a while to own that, you know, just to be like, yeah, this is, like, I require things to be easy. And if it's not, then it's really not for me. And so, yeah, I'm questioning, is that really true? Is that really fully true? Like, how much effort do I need to put into this?
Yeah.
I'm not clear on how much I need to put into things.
Yeah. So it seems like
things do come to easy. Yeah, they do come easy in general.
Things do come easily to you. You're one of the lucky ones.
That's
so
what they call me.
Yeah, so it sounds like a piece of this here is questioning, you know, how much effort does it really take? But I sense that there's something else going on here. There's like another level or layer that's a little deeper.
Definitely like failure, afraid of failure.
Mm-hmm.
And afraid that, you know, fear, like I said, of, you know, are people really interested? Do I have something that people are really interested in?
Yeah. Yeah. And how does that relate to the bigger picture, this fear that people may not be interested? What's that causing, creating, doing?
Well, it may be causing me to hold back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I stay stuck where I am, where I'm not really playing full out.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else about that you want to share?
Let me settle into that. There's definitely some hardness on myself, like I should have, you know, accomplished more by now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's definitely some of that too.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to ask you a question that, as hopefully everybody on this call knows, that you should always ask towards the beginning of a coaching session, which is, so what is it that, if this were, let's say this were a coaching session, what is it that you would like to receive from this time? Like, if you could walk away from this session with something, what would it be?
It would be like a remembering, more confidence to move forward, more clarity, confidence, and just like a remembering.
A remembering of what?
Of fully who I am, like who I am and what I'm supposed to do and to move forward, I guess, and just the confidence to do it. Just.
Yes. Beautiful. Okay, I think that is enough for us to be able to craft some questions. And so I want to give everybody about a minute right now. If you haven't already started writing, you can start. Take everything that you just heard from Leah as you were listening with your deep listening skills. And Leah, you can do this too for yourself if you want to put your practitioner hat on right now, and craft, I want everybody to craft at least two questions that if you were the practitioner in this session, you might want to ask next or ask during the session. And again, just remember all that we've taken a look at in all of our modules so far. And take the time. This is the place to practice and play around with words, too. So I'll give you guys a minute. And when you're ready, you can raise your hand. I'll still wait like another 30 seconds before I take calls, but before I take questions that you would ask, but star two. And Leah, you can participate as well. What would you want to ask this client? I'll give you guys another 30 seconds or so. Okay. So star 2 to raise your hand. Stephanie.
Hi, Joanna.
Hi.
So this was really great. The question that came to mind for me first is when she was talking about how she requires things to be easy, and if it's not, then it's not for her. And my curiosity was, I would ask her, what do you think it means about you when something feels difficult?
Yeah, really nice question. What do you think it means about you when something becomes difficult? I love the way you phrase that, and another way that you could phrase that question, and just depending on the client, one will pop more than the other, is what meaning are you making when something doesn't come easy to you?
Mm-hmm. I like that too.
Yeah, really nice. Good. Let's see who's next. Who's this from Madison?
That might be me.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Yeah, who is the you?
this is Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hello. So thank you, Leah, for sharing. I heard fear and questioning in your share, but I also heard passion to share with your clients. And I'm curious, what is it that lights you up about this retreat?
Nice. So first of all, I just want to point out that what Emily just did was a little bit of a sequence, creating awareness and then asking the question from there. And Emily, tell us, why did you ask that particular question about what lights her up?
Yeah, because I think my curious hunch is that feeling into that might give the energy into the outreach, into the passion, because there's fear of failure, of not getting information out, but if there was a tapping into that energy and that passion of what she's wanting to share, that perhaps that could bring in that that forward momentum, maybe.
Yeah, nice. So there's a couple of things that I want to kind of say about that. So first of all, asking a question like that, just to kind of for everyone, that is a motivation question when you ask somebody what lights them up about something that they want to do, right? Because it helps them to get to a deeper why. And it's, you know, thinking back to the four levels of learning and transformation, it's really that spirit level connecting to something bigger than your ego, right? Which creates trust in something and inspiration around something. Now, in this particular situation, I love the question, but I wouldn't ask it right away. Emily, tell me why. What needs to happen first before this really great question?
Correct. Yeah, I would go deeper questions first before going here. It was just one that I thought I'd share.
Yeah, no, it's a great question.
Yeah,
but just
yeah,
for
yeah.
everybody's
yeah.
learning, I'm going to pull all the pieces out.
Yeah, honoring where she's at. Right, honoring the fear,
yeah.
honoring all the emotions that are up is super important to go first.
Yeah, 100%, all of that. And also, there's a connecting the dots piece that needs to happen here, which is the question of what lights you up around this retreat, and wanting to use that as motivation or inspiration, is making the assumption that Leah is maybe not showing up as fully as she could for the outreach and the visibility. I happen to agree with that assumption too, but we need to connect the dots so that the client sees it before they're willing to get more motivated around something.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. No, thanks for bringing that forward. This is great. This is exactly why I love these practicums, because there's so much that we can learn through them. If anyone has questions on what I just shared, also feel free to raise your hand, star 2, because I want to make sure it makes sense to all of you. Joe.
Oh, hey, Joanna.
Hi.
Hi. Okay, so the question that I would, since she's a coach, I'm guessing, I would ask, like, how, when someone comes to her and they are also experiencing something as difficult, how does she, like, kind of inquire or coach them through something?
Yeah, beautiful. I always love that question. And it's so, it's one of the like fun things we get to do when we coach other coaches or any kind of healing practitioners or even just like human beings that you tend to support others in their lives, is asking the like, well, what would you do in this situation? It's such a beautiful and most of the time uber effective question, because what it does for the client being asked this question is it kind of like activates them into a higher perspective, like to use that higher perspective thinking and feeling and seeing the bigger picture the way they do with their own clients. It gets them kind of out of the details and into that higher perspective place and into their wisdom, connected to their wisdom. Oftentimes it's so much easier for us to connect to our inner wisdom when we're supporting others than when we're supporting ourselves. So that question can do a lot of things. Really nice.
Excellent. Yeah.
Good. Who else? Star two. This call is about participating. So I want to hear from more of you, or for those of you that have already raised your hands. These are such great questions and so much learning coming from it. Don't be shy. Star two. What's a question you might ask this client? Okay. Deborah. Are you there? Deborah?
Can you hear me? Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. So my question was similar to the first person's. My question is, I was going along as why or what does easy look like in doing your work? Tell me more about it. That was just kind of what I had written down. But I love the, what meaning did you have in making when something's difficult? So I think there's something around easy. And I also want to make a little comment there, and I had to check my own filter about easy and difficult. So this was a great awareness.
Yeah. So I love everything that you just said. First of all, yeah, we want to, especially when a concept like the concept of easy comes up, we absolutely want to check our filters, right? Because that's something that every human being has filters around, what's easy and what's difficult, right? And especially those of us that are in a similar situation, meaning that we're entrepreneurial and there's marketing to do, and we might have our own stuff around that. So it's so important to check filters around that. Like you said, there is a lot around this concept of easy that in a session could be picked apart for learning and for that clarity and confidence that Leah was asking about. I love that you're bringing in another easy question, because it's subtle between the two, but they're both what Stephanie asked and what you're asking are actually two different things, and they're both viable and they're both important. Stephanie's was around the story or the meaning, and your question is about what would easy look like. So there's kind of two layers in this particular case to this question of what would easy look like. Tell me more. So the first layer there is, it is a visioning question, right? We're asking the client to envision, okay, what do you want this to look like? What would easy look like? But the other thing is that this question could also end up being a reality check question, right? Because if the client answers, right, well, I just want to, like, you know, do nothing or send out one thing and have the thing fill. Now, again, I've got my own filter around this, but I know from a lot of experience, one email generally is not going to be enough to fill something. So it's a great way to create awareness by asking the client this question. And then the other thing I just want to pull out from what Debbie said is, you know, she asked the question and she said, tell me more, right? And that's a nice little flourish that, you know, we can sometimes add, tack on to the end of sentences, or end of questions, excuse me, when we want some more detail. Nice.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you real quick, and when you're in a session with a client and they bring up something that's definitely one of your filters, how do you check yourself? Do you simply, I know you've been doing this a while, but do you simply remind yourself, okay, let's put that to the side and be here now?
So I do a couple of things. That's a great question. So first of all, I check it. I become aware of it, right? And quick in my mind, and this will happen quickly, you know, say to myself, okay, you know, make sure I'm not expecting any kind of answer when I ask mm-hmm. about easy or difficult or all of that. I am aware that from my experience, I believe this and this and that. That doesn't have to be the truth with a capital T, right? So I'm telling that to myself. As I'm formulating the question, it helps inform how I'm formulating the question. It helps inform how I'm listening to the answer and not being attached. And then the other thing that I do is sometimes, I won't do this every time, but sometimes if I feel it's appropriate, I will actually say, now this may be coming from my own filter.
Okay.
Because in my experience, blah, blah, blah. But that may not be true for you, but I'm going to ask, right? So mm-hmm. I'm making, in cases where I'm not sure if the filter is fully checked or it feels like the client needs to know that this is where I'm coming from, I'm just going to make that filter totally transparent for the client before I ask the question or before I create the awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Is that helpful?
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Hold on. Here we go. Corey.
Hello.
Hi.
I would be curious to ask Leah, when was a time that you did feel confident, either in a personal situation or in your work, and then ask her to tell me a little bit more about that?
Beautiful. Yeah, I think that's a great question. Talk to us about the reasoning behind that question. Where is that question coming from? What's the purpose of it?
Well, it would be an energy shift question to move out of feeling perhaps stuck in the frustration or the present feeling that's leading to, oh, only one person showed up. And then the other pieces of the easy versus the hard, to move out of black and white thinking and back to a time when there was more, perhaps more spaciousness, and being able to connect with more of herself, more pieces of herself, rather than staying stuck in that one little piece that's determining this perception.
Ah, nice. Beautiful. Good. And I would say, just to add to that, you know, one of the things that Leah said she really wanted to receive was a remembering
mm-hmm.
of who she was,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that question is something that can activate a remembering. And then another thing that the question does, because the questions can often do, hopefully as you guys are seeing, do more than one thing at a time, the other thing that that question does is help create patterns, right, and make connections. We don't only want to create patterns, reveal patterns and connect dots just for more negative type patterning,
mm-hmm.
right? But we want clients to connect the dots between positive things too. Good. Stephanie.
Hey again.
Hi.
I interestingly had sort of the flip side of that question. The other question I came up with was, when in your life before have you felt challenged in this way?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe based on this whole, the piece of not feeling like she's giving it her all, like when in your life before have you felt like you weren't showing up fully? And then for either of those, asking, what did she learn from that?
Yes. Yeah, beautiful. So it's a great example of connecting the dots or helping reveal patterns on obstacles, and then helping the client not only see the pattern, and there are other questions you'd want to ask around the patterning, but then also help them see like how they moved through it or how they were still okay despite it, right, to give that confidence to keep on moving forward. Nice. Good. Anyone else want to share a question? Star two. Stephanie, is that you raising your hand again?
Oh, sorry. It shouldn't have been.
Okay. let's see. Emily.
So an easier or lighter question, but more towards the beginning, is just what else might be calling your attention? Because Leah had mentioned that she just got back from her trip and there's a lot of things, you know, just like there's that overwhelm with a lot of different things where to focus.
Yeah.
So what else is calling your attention that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a great question to ask if a client comes to a session and you ask, like, what's your intention? What do you want to receive? And the client is like, I don't know. And, you know, they're scattered and they're kind of just sharing lots of different things, but nothing is popping. That's a great question to ask, in particular in that moment. And in this case, yeah, I think part of what she was sharing was the overwhelm is because she hadn't been planning on coming forward as a volunteer client. And she was just like, oh, I don't know. But yes, absolutely. Like with the overwhelm, there could be other pieces there. 100%. Great. Anyone else? Star two. I've got a couple, but I just want to see if anyone else has got anything that they want to bring forward. These are all great. Everything that everybody's brought forward, so good. All right, I'll share a couple of things. So first of all, I just want to draw attention, even though I wasn't, when I was just asking Leah to get, you know, information for us, it wasn't my intention to necessarily ask coaching questions, but I do just want to point out a couple of things that I asked that were coaching questions or transformational questions. Number one, I got to that intention setting question, right? So what is it that you want to receive? Now, you're going to usually want to ask that at the very beginning of session. In this case, I asked her, like, what's the situation that you want to bring forward? Sometimes when you ask a client at the beginning of a session, what is it that you want to receive, they're not going to hear that question, and they're going to answer that question as if you would have asked, what's the situation that you want to bring forward or look at? And as they answer that question, you're still not going to know what they want to receive. Now, this is an important point that I really want to emphasize, that I have just found through all of the years, it can be so helpful to yielding breakthroughs, creating transformation, co-creating results, all the things, is that if a client brings forward their situation, but you're unclear on what they actually want to receive, you're going to end up wasting a lot of time in that session going in directions that may not be helpful or valuable to the ultimate result. So sometimes I have to ask that question again in a call, you know, after the first couple of minutes, I've gathered lots of great details and information from a client on their situation, but I don't want to make any assumptions about what they want from our time. And so I'm going to ask that question again, right? What is it that you would like to receive? And hopefully you guys noticed, even though Leah had shared so much about her situation, great things about her situation, important, when I asked her 5 minutes in, whatever it was, four minutes in after she shared, you know, what is it that you want to receive? She got really laser focused. She said, I want to receive clarity. I want to receive confidence. And I want a remembering, right? And I thought that that was the beginning of an important creating awareness, a moment of creating awareness for her, an important one, right? What that question yielded for her is she wanted to remember. She wanted to remember who she was. She wanted to remember her brilliance. She wanted to remember why she's doing this, right? Such an important moment to come to. And if you're using your listening skills as the practitioner, one of the things that you want to note about that answer is, so it's not that the client doesn't know how amazing she is. She does know, and she knows that she knows, but she also knows that she's disconnected from that right now. It's an important thing for a practitioner to know, because we can point that out to the client, right? You actually do know, right? You're in much better shape than you think you are, and then we can ask questions from there. And one of the first questions that I might have asked from there would have been, why is remembering so important for you right now? Why is that something that you want to receive? It can help the client go deeper into that inspiration, into that motivation, and into that remembering. Another thing that I want to point out that you guys may have noticed just when I was kind of trying to get background information from her, she was talking about, you know, wanting to know how much, like what, how much are you actually supposed to be outreaching, or you shouldn't put it in that way. And I said, okay, I hear that that's one thing, you know, wanting to know what's appropriate in terms of the work that needs to be done. But then I said, I sense that there's also something else going on here. What's the deeper layer? So that was a sequence of creating awareness. I sense that there's also, and she already knew that wasn't really creating awareness. It was really a mirroring, right? I sense that there's something else going on here. What's the deeper layer? Because I wanted to get to the inner pieces as well. I wanted to start to just get to an opening for that. Sorry, for the why question with the remembering, I wasn't looking at what I wrote down. The exact question I would have asked is, why is remembering who you are important? Why is remembering who you are important? Another question that I may have asked to help with the confidence and to help with the remembering is, how are you doing your community a disservice by not sharing fully about your work? How are you doing your community a disservice by not sharing fully about your work? Another interesting question that could have been asked is, what are you scared might happen if you were to share more than you feel comfortable with? What are you scared might happen if you were to share a little more, if you were to stretch a little bit more than your comfort zone? And I think Stephanie asked this question. No, I can't remember. But where else do you know this feeling of they don't think I'm good enough? Where else do you know this from? All right, there's obviously so many other questions we could ask. Those are just a couple that I wanted to point out. Leah, let me get back to you for a moment here. Where are you? Can you just raise your hand? Oh, here we go. I see your number.
Hi.
Hi. So this obviously wasn't a coaching session, but tell us, like, Yeah, tell us what the questions activated for you. What are you starting to see for yourself?
So, yeah, there were really good questions. About, you know, I love the what was brought forward about the difference between the story and the meaning that Stephanie was talking about, and then what I think Debbie was talking about, the concept between easy and difficult. Like, that was like, yeah, that was really powerful, very helpful just to bring the light onto that. And let me see, you know, looking back into where else have I felt like that, that's all really helpful. And also what you were talking about, the remembering who I am, like you were right on about that. I think, you know, yeah, you know, I'm definitely disconnected and very aware of that. And just, I guess it's very helpful to have people, which everybody was doing, like to, you know, to pull me back, pull me out of that and to help remind me of who I am. And by asking questions of, you know, when did I last feel confident? And, you know, to take me through those things so that I remember, that was really, really helpful.
Yeah, good. You know, towards the end of a session, it might also be helpful, you know, if Leah were the client, to ask some strategizing questions. You know, maybe strategizing around how she's going to do outreach, but also because this remembering piece is so important. So, you know, what are the things in your daily life that help you remember who you are? How can you bring more of those in? What do you want to remember about who you are? That, again, those aren't going to come at the beginning of that session, but they may come later on in that session to build that muscle, to continue to build that muscle and get more connected to the remembering of who you are. I'm going to do consulting just for a moment because I can't help myself. It's amazing that you are able to sometimes fill retreats or programs just with one outreach or, you know, hey, do you want to do this? And you should feel amazing about yourself that you're able to do that. And again, this is my filter, but it's one that's based on a lot of experience. I don't want, and you can tell me if this resonates for you or not, but I don't want you to fall into the thinking that it's always just like one outreach and then all the people are going to be there. I'm all about manifestation and I'm all about like being, you know, like all the things. But I think that you're doing yourself and your community a disservice by not showing up more fully for your outreach, not being a little bit more persistent and consistent, not following up. How does that land for you?
Yes, ooh, that lands. You know, I feel like I do that with my Women Speak circles. Like, I'm very good about it because it's bigger than me, because I'm part of something bigger than me. But when it comes to just me promoting myself, that's where it, where I back away and I
don't. Yeah. Okay, so that's a really important awareness right there and a really important distinction. If we were in a coaching session, we would definitely want to look more. That obviously has to do with some of the things that you mentioned earlier, you know, the confidence piece, but there are some connections that could be made around the brilliance that you show up with in the bigger organization and how those pieces show up in all of your work, your solo work, too. That make sense?
Yes.
Good. Good, good, good. Thank you much for all that you've shared and for willing to be vulnerable so that we could learn. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, good. We have time for another volunteer. Who's going to come forward? We can only do this if someone comes forward. Oh, we've got someone. Yay. Joe,
yeah. Okay.
Hi. All right.
Hi.
So what's your situation? What is it that is going on?
Well, there's always lots of stuff. That's always the situation.
That's the way.
Okay, so and I'm self-identifying as a pattern of resistance that I it's like, how would I do that? And this was a kind of a conversation we had in Charlotte, mm-hmm. where in terms of scaling my business, it's almost like, oh, if I need to do this, I want to do something else, but then like, or add on, like shift things. And then I almost, it's like, I don't know what to do. It's like my brain, like something got sucked out of my brain. I'm like, how would I do that? Like, how do you do that? It's almost like, how do you do it? I have no idea. And yeah. I'm certain that I have the skills because I can do it for somebody else.
Yeah.
Or see it for somebody else. But in my own, I'm almost like, I'm really blinded, you know, like it's weird. It's like a two part, even including like, oh, I know exactly what, you know, Leah could do. She could mm-hmm. even say,
right.
I only reserve this for my inner circle and I'm opening it and sharing it with blah, blah, like all of the, and I was like, wow, that was great. I could see like how she could.
Yeah. So, you know, you probably know this already, but usually when we get stopped in our tracks because we start focusing on the how,
uh-huh.
it's our ego's very sneaky way of sabotage.
Okay.
Because, of course, at the outset, we don't know all of the how.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of distracting from the fear. So if there was fear here for you, what would it be? Or what would, so you, maybe there's more than one, but share with us about that. Because you said right away, you know, one of the first words out of your mouth is there's resistance here. So we know
uh-huh.
that it's not just because you don't know how. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's something else happening.
Right. Fear of not, you know, providing the service or like one of the issues that comes up for me, and then I also did coaching with David, is like even like hiring somebody because I'm very controlling. I want to, like, I would worry that, you know, the quality wouldn't be the same as that I do. Like, so there's this aspect of it failing.
What is failing? Wait, I want to just slow down so that we can understand. So not providing the service, what I heard there is part of one of the ways that you could grow would be to hire other team members to do some of the work that you're doing and that they wouldn't provide the same quality of service.
Right, so that's a block for me. Like immediately mm-hmm. I have like it's not going to work because, you know, there's this kind of more of a negative. Like I can figure out also for myself, I can always like find unbelievable reasons why something won't work.
Yeah. Good. Okay. So one of them is this, it's not going to work because they won't provide the quality of service. And that's also a fear there too. What else?
Yeah.
What are
else? Yeah.
The fears or the beliefs that are mixed in here?
I don't even want to like speak it, But, you know, like someone's going to ask for their money back and they're going to complain. And there's like a whole, so it's like goes beyond the, like, okay, scenario, this isn't for me. But in fact, that, it would turn around and someone would like accuse me of doing something wrong or, tricking them, you know, like and I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's kind of
still all related to the team, or is this related?
Well, this is actually really, this is also I would relate in my practice too. I'm really like, you know, dot my I's and cross my T's, you know, just vigilant, I would say, almost like in a, not in a, like a, like a paranoid way, but I'm like things, I like to make sure the container is really tight when I'm working. And that's the, and that's probably like the unknown, like there's an area of the unknown, and the safety. So it's like a being safe.
Talk more about that.
Are you sure you want to open the camera?
I'm not. Sure? We're not going to resolve it. I can tell you that right now. All right.
All right.
But
so, I mean, I'm also aware of where the pattern comes from being in like an abusive environment. So there's this aspect of needing to be right and safe. So not like right, like. If I do something correct and perfect or even better, I'm kind of like in the safe zone, you know, like you can't touch me kind of thing. Like I did it all, like whatever was required, you know, like that kind of thing. So, stretching myself, it's like a slower, like before I dip my toe in, I usually research every possible thing before I make a, like kind of like make a decision or, you know, like it's like, so, so that's, I get stuck in the weeds of that.
Yeah. Good. Any other fears or beliefs rolling around that you can see are holding you back from growing?
Well, I think there's this imposter syndrome, but I think it's wrapped up into that. Mm-hmm. Or it's a very subtle aspect of it, right? Mm-hmm. So if I don't produce something that's perfect or delivers, that I'm like a fraud, you know, like that there's,
if it's not perfect.
I understand there isn't perfect, but kind of like deliver the goods, like deliver, and maybe even more. Like I have to go beyond the expectation, right? That's probably what I try to go beyond my patient's expectation. Like, and sometimes they expect a lot, right? So I'm like a pleaser, like to go beyond, like to
and a little bit.
Oh, you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. If this were a session, what is it that you would want to receive?
I would want to receive what came to mind was like literally, it was like a, you know, Wizard of Oz, like just pull the curtain back and, you know, take a look at like what is that mechanism that is blocking me. So I would say like Leah, clarity for sure.
Clarity on what?
On the truth. Like what's the truth?
About? You know,
that, whether I need to, well, whether I'm safe, actually, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Anything else you'd want to receive?
Yes. The mechanism to, like, kind of snap me out of it. To not go down that road, you know, to not go down the path of despair and the fear spin cycle, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, then I just to procrastinate and stay small.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay, good. I think this is enough material for us to work with. We could work on this for days. So let's everyone take about a minute and a half. And I want you to do this also, Joe, and just craft at least two questions that you would want to ask this client. And again, think about language. Think about, you know, all the things that we've looked at in our questioning module, in our creating awareness module, all of that. So everybody take a few moments with that. Take another half a minute. All right, and star two, what are some questions that you would want to ask? Don't be shy and take a risk, even if you're not sure. Let's see what's coming up for you. Leah.
Hi.
Hi.
What's her name, Zoe? Or I miss
Zoe.
Her name.
Zoe, am I pronouncing it right?
Cho.
Cho. Okay. I had a feeling.
Cho. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Cho, for sharing. Like, it sounds like you're an amazing coach and that you have it down. And the questions, like, I would definitely go over like how amazing she is with what she's doing. And the things that I was seeing, you know, the pattern of confusion and protection and perfectionism. And so I would the two questions that I was thinking, not necessarily right away, of course, but you know, more kind of in there would be, how long have you been unwilling to receive support? Because when she talked about, she said she was very controlling and kind of afraid that the quality wouldn't be as good as what, you know, what she needs. And so to me, that like showed me that she wasn't open to receiving support, but I'm not, that's what comes up for me. That's
open to receiving support in general, or specifically in terms of like team in her business?
Specifically in receiving support for her business, but it could be more than that.
Let me hear it.
How long have you been unwilling to receive support?
I'm thinking on that one because I think there's something there. I'm just thinking. So I like that question. And when I think about the, you know, you're sharing the reasoning behind it, I may even ask it a little bit differently. The way I might phrase it, and this is a little bit confrontational, more confrontational than yours, might be something like this. For how long have you held your business back from growing because you haven't been willing to take on team members? A little confrontational. It would be to kind of shake, and I think it's for the same purpose that you're asking, to shake the client a little bit into seeing like how this has been going, like she's really been holding herself back for a while, and there's to make more motivation to change.
And I had another question that's more bold, I think. I don't know, more towards the end.
Yeah, let's hear it.
What would it take to snap you out of doubting yourself?
What would it take to snap you out of doubting yourself? I like that. An alternative to that is, what would you need to believe to snap out of doubting yourself? So what would it take? It can be understood a little bit as like an outer piece, which is a very valid and effective question. And then the what would you need to believe is more of that, like, what's the inner thing that's required? Nice.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Good. Who else? Star two. What would you ask if you were the practitioner? Debbie.
Hi there. Hold on. I would lovingly say, in what ways, a couple of things, in what ways is Cho not feeling safe right now? And in what way is she feeling safe? Any concerns around that? And then I would also ask, in regard to the fear, I would want to know, somehow to create a good question with, how is she letting fear run and control her life?
So to
really
create that pattern, mm-hmm. so it's not mm-hmm. just about her business, but other areas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love the question of, where are you feeling safe right now around your business growth, right? Because it's a little bit like the number of percentage questions and a little bit of that reality check, which sometimes our minds need to see, okay, you know, there are actual places where the growth does feel safe. Possibly the client could say nowhere, right? But probably they will find at least one or two places. And it's helpful then to move from the black and white thinking into a different place around it, which can then help kind of shake some things up. Nice. Star two. Stephanie.
Hi. Hope it's okay. I'm talking so much.
Absolutely, 100%.
I have a couple of questions. One that I would love to ask is, if there was no possibility of failure, what would you love to bring to the world? Because I think
I love the question and the reason behind it. My question for you is the wording in the end of it. I may have worded it differently based on everything that she shared. Say the question again.
If there was no possibility of failure, what would you love to bring to the world?
Okay, so based on what Cho shared, the last part of that sentence, that question for me, I would say, how would you love to grow or your business? But I'm curious as to why you're choosing what you're choosing, because there may be a really good reason that I'm just not seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was just my way of asking her, like, what is this? Because it sounds like there's something that she wants to do in her business, but she hasn't actually told us what that is. I guess that was just my way of asking, like, what is it that you want to contribute?
Yeah. Nice.
Just try to reconnect her to the vision.
Uh-huh. Nice. Did you say you had more than one question?
I do. I have a bunch. There's one that I'm actually very curious about because I feel like there could be something really good there, but it's one I would be terrified to ask, and I'm a little scared to even ask it here. The mentioning of her having been in an abusive environment, which we didn't really dig into, but it seems to play a big role. And I don't know, what came up for me is there a part of you that you are in an abusive relationship with?
Why are you scared to ask that question?
I don't know. It seemed like, I mean, this wasn't central to the concern she brought up, I guess. And she mentioned it, and it seems relevant, especially in all the discussion of safety.
Yeah, agreed. 100%.
And I guess I would just be concerned about digging up big feelings and trauma when I don't necessarily feel qualified to do that, and she didn't ask for that to be brought up.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you're bringing this up. You're in full sacred depths, and we're going to get to the difference of scope of therapy versus scope of coaching. And so there's a lot to be said. But what I'll say right now is you don't have to avoid the word abuse if it comes up. The question that you articulated is actually a thinking question. It's not a feeling or a body question. Is there a part of you? And if in terms of sacred depths coaching, that's still in the scope if you're talking about abuse. You can stay on that mental level of learning and processing. I personally, and everybody is different, I personally would not, when someone has brought up abuse, go into like a feeling question. How does it feel in your body when you think about the abuse, for example?
Okay.
How does that land for you personally?
Yeah, that feels better. I guess I'm still wondering if it is appropriate and useful in this situation.
We can ask Cho, let's ask her. I would say, depending on where you go with it, it could be, because it could help uncover a little bit more for the client, the ways that she speaks to herself, which we didn't get into yet in the conversation. You're like, are there actual ways that she speaks to her? That's because I think that's really what that question is about. Is like, are there ways that she speaks to herself where she's kind of bullying herself, and then it's not productive,
right?
For her. But let's ask Cho if that would have been helpful in this particular situation.
I think it's pretty surface.
It's Can't hear you.
Hold on a second. Let me...
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, it's hard to hear you.
Okay, let me just... how about now?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I must have some kind of voices or things that I tell myself. I don't really think of it so much as auditory, though, as much as a feeling. Of, you know, like just like, ugh, like it's so subtle, or maybe it's not subtle, but it's very old. It's very old.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, oh, what do I tell myself? I'm like, oh, you're no good. Or no, that doesn't. It seems like it's more primal, like mm-hmm. because it's just very. Like I track people, like I'm very vigilant. I realize.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
an empath, like a big yeah. empath.
Yeah, so it's about empathy and it's about keeping yourself safe.
Correct.
That's track people. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the question could be useful in that it would lead to looking at some of this, and there may be a certain point where it's taken as far as it can go within the realm of the scope of coaching,
right.
depending on where that line of questioning goes. Okay, good. Thanks for weighing in on that. I've got some questions, but I just want to see if anybody else has any others that they want to bring forward. Star two. All right, I'll share some things then. Some of the questions that I wrote down, let's see if I can read my handwriting. I was writing them very quick. What's the difference between going beyond a client's expectation and holding yourself to perfection? So that's back to those definition questions that I had been sharing with all of you back. And what's the difference questions? Definition questions can oftentimes be a great way to create some awareness around some beliefs that a client has. Another question would be, how old is the part of you that believes that if she's right, she's safe? How old is the part of you that believes that if she's right, she's safe? Now back to what Stephanie asked earlier, I may not go too much further with that particular question as I would in other times where I was asking how old is this part and this and that and the other thing because of the abuse and because of just my personal scope of where I can go and where I can't. But even just asking how old can help the client begin to see that when she goes into some of these resistance places, these fear places, these holding herself back places, her adult self isn't running the show. And then a follow-up question to that might be, child Cho, or however old Cho would answer, you know, 8-year-old Cho doesn't feel safe if a client complains. But adult Cho is, she has resources. What does adult Cho want her inner child to know? So a question like that can help the client, again, continue to just see that her adult self can have more influence here it can remind her, and obviously I did a bit of creating awareness to set up that question before I asked it. It can remind the client that as an adult, she has a lot more resources and a lot of ways of handling things and keeping herself safe than the one inside of her that's scared. And then asking you, what's the wisdom, right? What is it that she wants that child to know? Another question that I wrote down, she was talking about, you know, that she, one of the things she would like is to, like, be able to override when she goes into despair. So, you know, a kind of like find the pattern question, right? When have you been able to override your despair? Follow-up question, you know, what happened? Or what did you believe when you were able to do that? Another question I wrote down, I'm not sure about this one, but I thought it was interesting. What would you be free to do without your inner vigilante? And maybe there's a better way of phrasing that. If you were to put your inner vigilante aside, what would you be free to do? And then I'll share one other question. It's a yes or no question. And remember, you only want to ask yes or no questions when someone is ready to make a decision or really understand a decision inside of themselves. And so, you know, think about this one. See if what you guys think about this question. If you were to have a team, do they actually need to provide the same quality of service that you do? Do they actually need to provide that same quality of service? Again, for that yes or no question and that one in particular, there's a couple things behind it. First of all, oftentimes when a service provider owns a business and they hire a team, their team members, they may not charge as much for the service with the team members as with the, you know, original business owner in the first place. And the assumption is there isn't as many years of mastery necessarily, right? That's not the only way to do it, but that's one way. And then the other purpose behind this question is, okay, like, she's vigilant, you know, she's going above and beyond expectations, but is it actually true that her team members need to be that vigilant as well? All right, let's pause here. And take a moment, and first of all, you know, if there's any questions on anything that I just shared or that anyone just shared, let me know. And while you're thinking if you've got any questions on that, I'm going to just come back to Cho for a moment here. Mm-hmm. Hi. Anything that you want to share about, like, what you're seeing for yourself or what popped for you or anything like that?
I know this, and then there's the other part of me that almost that I need to just like overcome, like address the feeling aspect.
Yeah.
That so, and then with the feeling, then I give it some kind of meaning, right? It's an ongoing piece of work that I'm working on.
Yeah, and it also sounds like there's importance. You know, I always say, like, there's a difference between a breakthrough or like an awareness and a transformation.
Yeah.
And I know you're very self-aware, and the to go from that breakthrough or that awareness around all of this to the transformation requires that consistent, like you're saying, feeling work. I think there's some consistent thought work, right? Like to really be on top of those practices mm-hmm. for a period of time.
Right.
So that the tipping point happens there for you.
Yes. And this is part of the ongoing awareness and aspect of, like, there's one thing I'll figure out, but then it kind of, like, as you said, is very sneaky, and then it shows up again in various different ways, you know, disguised as, well, I don't think someone else would do it for the quality, or I don't know how I would do it, like things that...
Right, which is why I'm saying, yeah. And we look at this like in rewiring negative thought patterns a bit.
Correct.
And befriend your fear, like you want to start to really track in a way and then be on top of that consistent work. Like the only way that it's going to change is the more that you can catch it in the moment.
Correct.
And mm-hmm. override. Because the MO is going to be for that to just do what it always does. So it
will
sounds
undermine
like you're,
yeah.
yeah. So it sounds
it's like
you're
undermining my I'm trying to undermine my own subconscious, which in turn is going to undermine me trying to manipulate it, you know, like it's a
right. Yes. Yes. Yeah, so you mentioned earlier the fear of tricking others. And I didn't go there today because there's
right.
you know, a lot to it. But you know, usually when I hear someone is scared that other people are going to think that they're tricking them, it lets me know that there's actually a shadow around the trickster or the manipulator. I'm not going to get into, like, all of the pieces of that. But I'll just say, like, you may have a tricky manipulator energy inside of you. Use it
oh, I totally
good.
Do.
Yeah,
I
so
totally
use
do.
That
that's
manipulator
about the
to manipulate
yeah,
out of this pattern.
That's
use
the
energy for that
out.
Instead of worrying that other people are going to think that you're tricking them. Anyway, that's all I'll say about that for now.
Okay, all right. All right, but that's the pleasing. That's actually kind of meeting someone's expectations, like
yeah.
beyond, is a form of manipulation, right? It's
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's so much more on that, but you know,
oh, yeah.
that will just kind of pop something for you.
Thank
all right. We are almost out of time for today. Thank you, everyone, for all that you brought forward. Such good stuff. I'd love to hear your takeaways, post in your Facebook groups. And for those of you that are in Catalyzing Breakthroughs, just big, big hug to all of you. Thank you for spending these 2 months with me and learning the foundations of creating breakthroughs. It's just been so wonderful to share this time and this space with you. And to everybody, I'm thinking about you. Have a good week. Sacred Depths people, I'm going to see you tomorrow, and I'm going to see you all day on Thursday for our Befriend Your Fear mega training and workshop. So big hug to all of you. Have a great rest of your day.
The moderator has left the conference.